Let's turn together in our scripture to the Gospel of St. John. Look in chapter number 4. St. John's Gospel, chapter number 4. I'm going to read verses 46 through verse 54. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 46 through verse 54. We've begun last time on Wednesday night studying and begin a short series, say maybe 5 or 6 times. We're going to look at the messages from the miracles of Jesus. If you remember the last time we studied, His first miracle recorded was a miracle of Cana of Galilee of turning the water into wine. That was showing His power over problems that people have. Now, tonight we're going to look at this particular passage. And this, by the way, is Jesus' second miracle. John will share that with us. This is His second miracle. And this miracle shows Jesus' power over how we panic in our lives. And all of us at some point or another have had a reason to panic, haven't we? Sometimes we have so-called panic attacks. Well, this particular passage, a man was in a real panic. I want you to see it with me. John 4, verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where He made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto Him and besought Him that He would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto Him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the 7th hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth. And he and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when He was come out of Judea into Galilee. This is the second recorded miracle, and we have to understand that this may not have been all the miracles Jesus had done up to this point, but this is the second recorded miracle that we see recorded here of Jesus coming into Galilee. Now, the story begins with this. The Bible calls him a nobleman. He was a council member. He was a ruler. He's also a Sadducee. Here this man comes to Jesus. Wait a minute. Sadducee coming to Jesus? Why would a Sadducee come to Jesus? Sadducees didn't believe in miracles or miracle workers. But you find him coming to Jesus. This man came to Jesus not just as a Sadducee or a ruler or a council person. He came to Jesus as a father whose son was lying at home dying. He comes to Jesus in a panic about his son. So he seeks out Jesus for a miracle. Contrary to all the things that Sadducees believe, they didn't believe in miracles. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in a life after death. They didn't believe in a whole lot of things that Jesus taught and believed and taught us to believe. But yet you find him now, contrary to all he believed, he comes to Jesus. And he asks Jesus for a miracle. Now, Sadducees didn't believe in any kind of spirits or any kind of supernatural work. But yet he comes to Jesus. Why would he turn against all he believed and approach Jesus and ask Jesus for a miracle? He was in a grave situation. His son was lying at home dying. No doubt all the doctors had done all they could do. They had come to the end of their rope, so to speak, and they told the family, there's nothing more we can do. And his son just continued to get worse and worse and worse and worse. He knew, this man knew at this point, all that he believed had failed him. Nothing he trusted in had helped his son. He was in such a panic. He would do anything. He would try anything. He'd go to any person to do anything he could to get help for his son. Beloved, listen. We who have children, we know what this man's situation was. I've never had a child of mine to come just to the near point of death, but I've had my children to get sick when they were younger. And it really tries your heart, doesn't it? It pulls on your soul, doesn't it? When your child gets sick, and when you have a child that's at the point of death, and maybe the doctors have said, listen, there's nothing else we can do. It's out of our hands. You'd do anything to help your child, wouldn't you? You'd seek any kind of help you could. You'd go anywhere for any kind of help you thought might be an advantage to help your child. Well, that's why we see this man coming to Jesus and asking Jesus, come down to my house and heal my son. Now listen, by this time, Jesus was beginning to be well known in the area around Judea and Galilee. He was well known even now in Capernaum. And no doubt the word had got back to this man that the miracle worker, the healer, the master, had come to Capernaum, and he comes now to seek out Jesus. Let's take this story and let the Holy Spirit of God enlighten us as we see the power of God through Jesus Christ our Lord over the panic situation, see God work in this man's life, see God work in this man's family, see his whole household. We see this God's power in this young son's life, how Jesus brought him from almost at the point of death to complete wholeness and wellness again. This story could be repeated today, couldn't it? It really could. Just move it from where it is here into this century, into this day. There's parents everywhere. I've met them. You've met them. Maybe you've been there with one of your children. Was at the point of death and you were just at your wits' end spiritually. You didn't know what to do, where to turn. You fall upon your knees and you pray and you ask the Lord to help you. Well, that's what this man's doing right here. Look at this passage with me. Four things I want you to see. First of all, I want you to see the crisis of this man. Look at verse 46 and 7. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. We've already seen just something about this man's beliefs, or I'd say his unbelief as far as we're concerned. Some things he didn't believe, we certainly do believe. Yet now, the situation with this man has gravely, greatly changed. His professed beliefs that he believed, indeed again, had just failed him. His son was now still lying at home, getting worse by the day, and he's at the very point of dying. His son's healing was the most important thing in this man's life at this particular time in his life. So he set aside all his beliefs in his Sadducees, in his religion. He set aside all those beliefs, and he comes to Jesus, the one he'd heard about, hadn't believed in, but he'd heard about this man called Jesus, that he could turn water into wine. He'd heard about this miracle worker, this man they called the master, the healer. He'd heard about Jesus, and so now he comes to Jesus. Hold on a minute. Why would this Sadducee come to Jesus? He didn't believe in miracles to start with. Yet you find him coming to Jesus, and that's the very thing he asked Jesus for. Come down to my house, Master, and heal my son. Why did he come to the miracle worker? Everything else had failed. Everyone else had failed. His beliefs had failed him. At any other time other than this crisis in his life, he probably would have faced Jesus and debated Jesus about miracles, how he didn't believe in miracles. Like people today would just try to stand up in their ignorance, and try to debate the Word of God, denying this, doubting this, not believing this. At any other time, he might have stood up in Jesus' face and tried to debate him about Jesus' beliefs or about miracles, in fact, at all. But listen, at any other time, he'd have to have some kind of sign to prove what Jesus was saying. Jesus, in fact, said to him, "You won't believe. You've got to have a sign. Some kind of materialistic something. You've got to have a sign." Well, this man's situation is different now, you see. His son's at home dying. The life of his son's the most important thing to him. He's desperate. He's in a panic situation. He's in what we'd call today the panic mode. He'd now try anything to get his son to be saved. So he comes to Jesus. What did he have to lose? I'll tell you what he had to lose. His son. The most important thing to him in this world, that's what he had to lose. And in fact, he was losing at the very point when he came to Jesus. Faith wasn't even in the vocabulary of the Sadducees. They didn't believe in any kind of faith. But listen, look at this man's life. You can already see that there's at least a small, moderate amount of faith at work in this man's life already. So he comes to Jesus. Now he stands before Jesus, not as a Sadducee, not as a ruler, not as a nobleman, not as an official of any kind, but he comes as a father pleading for a miracle for his son. How could we relate to this story, couldn't we? I can't relate to it just like he could, but my mother could. When I was just a little tiny thing, my mother said I had asthma real bad and I was dying one day, she thought, took me to the hospital. She had already turning blue, and she prayed on her knees in that hospital and said, "God, if you'll let my son live, I'll give him to you." And God let me live. Here I am today. I didn't know till many, many, many years later when God called me to preach that she gave me to God that day, and God then gave me back to her in life. But then she told me the story how she had prayed and asked God for a miracle, and God gave her a miracle. He let her son live. So we can't all relate to that exactly, but we know how precious our children are to us, don't we? Our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. If you don't even have any children, how precious children are to us, how precious they were to Jesus. He said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, of such is the kingdom of heaven." So children are precious. They're the most precious. Well, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, they are an heritage of the Lord. They're like arrows, it says, in the quiver of a good hunter. So they're precious. This child was precious to this man. Nothing he wouldn't do to get his son to be saved, brought back to life whole again. So you see the crisis of this man. But let's move from that and look at the conversation that this man got into with Jesus. Look at verse 48. "Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my son die." Listen. He begged Jesus, "Come to my house and heal my son." Surely you see some kind of faith, don't you? In this man's life, he at least believed Jesus could heal him. He believed Jesus was a healer, and he didn't know for sure, but if Jesus would come down to his house, he knew Jesus could, and he probably would, heal his son. But alas, look at the answer that Jesus gave this man. It wasn't the answer he was looking for, but he got an answer. Jesus spoke back to him, and Jesus said, I'll kind of paraphrase in my own words, "You don't believe in miracles. Why would you ask me to come down to the house? You don't believe in miracles. You don't believe in faith. All these things that I teach and I advocate, you don't believe none of those things. Why would you ask me to come down to your house? Jesus didn't ask him these questions sarcastically like you might think. But he did ask them in a way that would help this man to see the futility of the religion that he had been trusting in. Well, you Sadducees don't believe in miracles. Why are you asking me for a miracle? You demand some kind of sign to prove something or material. You won't accept it. This man was somewhat like Naaman in the Old Testament. You know that story? How that Naaman came to the man of God and he said, you go down to the River Jordan and you wash in Jordan 7 times and your leprosy will be cured. You'll be healed. So the old man goes down, Naaman goes down to the river and he starts washing in Jordan. 1 time, 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times. He's already getting skeptical about this point. But then he goes down the 6th time and he's all frustrated. He said, I thought that if I'd go to the man of God, he would surely have come out and laid his hands on the leprous spots in my body and made some kind of a display and declare me healed. And his servant was pretty wise and he said, Master, he asked you to come down to Jordan and dip 7 times. Would you not just do what he asked you to do? So he dips in Jordan the 7th time. And of course, you know the story. He comes up and his skin is brand new like a baby's skin. And he brought great gifts, you know, to give the man of God. And the man of God wouldn't even come out and talk to him. He just told his servant, said, you tell him to go down to Jordan and dip 7 times. This is kind of like what this man here was facing, you see. Jesus, come down to my house and heal my son. And Jesus said to him, go home. Your son's healed. Your son lives. Now, this man didn't expect that from Jesus. What do you think he expected? He expected Jesus to come down to his house. He expected Jesus to probably lift up his hands toward Capernaum and say, well, your son is healed. Didn't do that. No display of any kind. Just in a simple sentence, Jesus said, go home. Your son will be fine. End of conversation. Now, let's move from the man's crisis and his conversation, let's move to the compassion you see from Jesus here in verse 50. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Don't you know, when he met those servants, and they came rushing unto him saying, Master, Master, your son's well. He's whole. He's alive. He's brand new. Don't you know this man remembered the words Jesus said? He just simply said, sir, go home. Your son will live. What glory the Lord would get from that. What great compassion was shown here to this man's son against all this man believed. Jesus showed great compassion and great love and great mercy and forgiveness. He healed his son with just a word. In this, Jesus acted completely and contrarily to everything that this man ever professed to believe. Why didn't this man question Jesus about his beliefs? The Bible just simply says that this man believed the words of Jesus. Look at this. No debate. No question and answer session. He just simply turned around and he went home. Now you know there had to be a greater amount of faith that this man was putting into Jesus to just accept his words, believe what he said, turn around and go home. Well, he had to have believed that Jesus could do something about the crisis, don't you know? He's bound to believe Jesus was able, he had the ability to do what he said he would do. And indeed, Jesus had shown love and compassion and mercy to his son. But listen, the same love and compassion and mercy that was shown to the son who was dying was also showed to the father. The father, it says, he believed. That was his response on hearing the good news that his son was well and whole and alive. But I want you to see the conclusion of this matter. Look at verse 52 and 3. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Look at that. He didn't even get home till the servants met him, telling him the wonderful news that he was looking for, that there had been indeed a miracle performed. His son was now whole. He's alive. He's fine. Don't you know, again, he remembered what Jesus said. But notice his inquiry. It wasn't to doubt Jesus. It wasn't to doubt the miracle. No doubt a miracle had taken place. No doubt his son was alive and well as ever. Why then did he ask them, you suppose, at what hour did he start to get better? What hour did he start to amend? And they said, well, Master, it was yesterday at the seventh hour. Bingo. What time was it when I talked to Jesus yesterday? The seventh hour, when Jesus said, sir, go home. Your son lives. Now listen, he wasn't being skeptical of Jesus. He was just confirming when the miracle did indeed take place at the seventh hour. Well, he now believed in miracles. I promise you he believed in miracles. You know why I believe he knew it? Because he had just experienced one from Jesus in his own son's life. Well, what did he do about this miracle that just happened in his family to his son? He knew one thing: men can't do miracles. Only God can do miracles. And he had to have known that this had to have been the Master, had to have been the Messiah, had to have been God in the flesh to perform such a miracle as he had seen in his son's life. So God got the glory. But look at this man's response. He believed in Jesus. He accepted the Lord Jesus. Look at this. So you see, the purpose of this miracle was not quite yet completed. One more thing had to take place. The son had been healed, the father believed, but now it says his whole household believed. They all believed in Jesus. I want you to notice something here. How simple Jesus keeps things. Here's the essence of that miracle. Three things. Jesus said, I speak, you believe, it's done. Simple. Jesus didn't make it complicated. I just say the word, you believe it, and it's done. Why do we always seem to want to complicate things? We've got to look at everything through human eyes, and when we do, we just complicate things to the seventh degree, don't we? I speak the word. You believe my word, your son's going to be fine. Well, we need to be too hard on the Sadducees, because you see, we want to see signs today too. Oh, we've got to have some kind of sign to, you know, encourage our belief. Listen, signs are not necessary. Just an example, and I'll pass on. John the Baptist. Jesus said of John the Baptist, there never has been a man born of woman any greater than John the Baptist. And you know something? John the Baptist never performed one miracle. He didn't. The whole ministry of John the Baptist was without miracles, without any kind of signs. But Jesus said he's the greatest of all, born of woman. This man, his family, knew a couple of things now they were understanding. That the omnipotence and the omnipresence of Jesus is not limited by time nor space. It would have been maybe 2 miles, or it could have been 200 miles. It didn't matter. It was done. So I'm going to close with this. The next time you get into a crisis, you need to remember Jesus said, keep it simple. I speak the word, you believe, and it's done. We'd say today, Jesus said, I got this. He does have the power, doesn't he? Over panic that we get into sometimes. He does have the power over the problems of the water and the wine. And we'll just look at another miracle next time and just magnify our Lord for the wonderful power that he had here on this earth when he walked here in the flesh. It excites me. I love to study about Jesus' works in this flesh on the earth, don't you? There's several more we're going to look at. We'll just take them as they come along. Read ahead, study ahead, and find out some wonderful things from the Scriptures, what Jesus did while he was here on this earth. Amen. And remember, he's got this.